Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. Brought to you by Texas First Bank on Sports Radio 610.
Brandon Scott of SportsRadio610.com here with you on a Black Friday edition of In the Loop. We also got the Figgy Fig and the best in the world. What he do? Ryan Rocket is also in the building. We're going to go around the NFL real quick. Yesterday's slate of games, not the most impressive. I think that the Cowboys and the Raiders gave us a little something to watch, albeit with a lot of penalties. But the first one was Bears-Lions, a battle of two struggling teams. A tough watch, honestly, with no Justin Fields. I feel like that's really the only endearing quality of either team. But thanks to Dan Campbell ruining the clock management at the end. Thanks to Aaron Glenn. And shout out to Aaron Glenn. We love you, dog, as
Ryan Rocket's favorite player. He got his jersey.
Hey, yep, man. Yep. The inspiration for Ryan Rocket's jersey game. All right. We will not be wearing Aaron Glenn Detroit Lions defensive coordinator t-shirts if anything was ever made like that. That would be weird if anybody ever made anything like that.
Yeah, I burned it like they did LeBron after that game.
But because of the mismanagement at the end, they were not successful against a very bad Bears team that came in with a lot of turmoil, if we want to say, a lot of turmoil and a controversy with the rumors surrounding their head coach, Matt Nagy, who deserves to be fired but will not be fired right now. And the Bears were able to win that game late, and it was the final was 16-14. Not the most entertaining game. I feel like Figgy described it best earlier in the show by saying that's kind of your background filler, food finishing up.
That's the opening act. We all been to that concert where somebody, you know, opening up for the big artist, and you get there a little late. You might be there. You like, let's go get some drinks. Let's go get some food or something. They perform. Big deal.
Let's go make the ice run.
Yeah. That's them.
Yeah.
That's
them. I am the cousin. I'll just admit I am the cousin who makes the ice run. Or
the weed.
Do you need something from outside?
to go to the store.
Hey, I'm going, who needs something from the store? Oh, you need me to move your car? You know, I am that relative.
I feel you.
You know, so somebody's got to be that person. But that's what we got out of Bears Lions. Now, Vegas and Dallas, Raiders and Cowboys. That was actually a doggone good game. Ended in overtime. It was back and forth. Did y'all see the fight? Did y'all see the fight on the sideline?
Are we calling that a fight?
That wasn't a fight to
are
you.
Are we calling that a fight?
Well, here's the thing. Okay, so it wasn't a fight. But I ain't never seen two dudes blocking each other in the field, on the field.
That was a kerfluffle at best.
Was that a LeBron hit to the face?
Hey. It was kind of like them vibes, man.
Look, rarely are you going to get a real, real fight in these sporting events. Like, it's not designed for that. Somebody's going to break it up before it gets out of hand. But I'm going to tell you, I ain't never seen guys go from the field and the jockeying go all the way from the field to almost to the stands, like basically to the furthest end of the bench, to the deepest part of the bench that you could get to. I don't think I've ever seen that before. Yeah. And when it happened, I was actually driving and listening to it on the radio and right here on Sports Radio 610, and Ross Tucker, before it was actually even announced what exactly happened or, you know, said what exactly happened, you hear him go, oh my God, you know, kind of react because he's seeing it, you know, happen in real time. And he also said, you know, a former player himself, that he had never seen anything like that. Like, it wasn't really a fight. Just exactly what happened was just weird and odd, I thought, anyway.
Yeah.
And then the referee come out there with a little cut on his chin.
He got hurt.
A little war wound. the Raiders ended up beating the Cowboys 36-33. I believe the Cowboys have lost four or five or something like that. Like, it's looking – either three or four or five, they are not doing
two in
well
a row, man.
Yeah, man. And obviously That's not looking good for them as a team that was supposed to be a contender in the NFC. Probably still going to win that division, but you're looking at them like, you know, they need to get healthy. Yeah. I saw a report this morning about Zeke's carries being limited even more, and he's already starting to take a backseat to Tony Pollard being banged up. They're saying it's going to be that case even more so now.
Yeah, now they did have a lot of injuries. They had people on the COVID list,
right?
So that could have had something to do with it, but I think they should have won this game. Shout out to Anthony Brown, man. He was getting picked on. He got
my man had four PIs.
Four
PIs. But yeah, you are right. Amari Cooper on the COVID list.
Yeah.
And CeeDee Lamb, Houston's own CeeDee Lamb, with the concussion out in the concussion protocol. And so all of a sudden, you go from having your best receivers being Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb to now is Michael Gallup and some dudes. You know, you're relying on Jordan Schultz.
How'd you feel about the penalties?
Man, it was the most penalized. Now, one thing I think you got to keep in mind was that it was a Thursday game. Mm-hmm. So Thursday games tend to be a little sloppier. And some of these teams just flat out weren't very good. Like we already said, the deal with the Lions and the Bears, like you're just dealing with terrible teams in that case. But with the Cowboys and the Raiders, man, like Sean Hockley's crew, I feel like, well, I want to say they threw like 20-something penalties out there.
28 total.
Man, every time you look up, there was a penalty. I felt like when there wasn't a penalty, it was an entertaining game. But the penalties bogged it down, and the game was damn near 4 hours.
It felt like a five-hour game.
It felt like a baseball game. I was like, am I watching the NFL on Thursday night, or am I at Minute Maid Park, you know, waiting for, you know, an American League matchup to wrap up? Yeah. You know, like it was like I was really turned off by the penalties. And then I ain't gonna lie to y'all, man. Buffalo beating up on New Orleans like that, 31-6.
Yeah,
it was very apparent very early that wasn't going to be much of a game.
Yeah.
And we've already gone over my affinity for sleep.
Yeah, the broadcast, the Josh Allen, I guess the propaganda for Josh Allen was in full effect for this game, because I feel like every play they talked about how great he is. He had his own little profile piece at halftime. Like, this was the Josh Allen for president NFL game.
Hey, I'll say this, though.
Josh Allen was giving out turkeys this weekend.
Like, as if.
I felt like they played that, like, three times throughout the game.
But also as if literally everybody in the NFL, I feel like. If you go to, I would love to poll all the NFL cities. Which NFL city among us, they players didn't do something special for Thanksgiving? It's got to be damn near written in the contract.
Yeah, I think so.
Texas did something nice. You know, Tyrod Taylor was out there passing out stuff. Laramie Tunsil, who, you know, for the most part don't really care about nobody but Laramie Tunsil, was out there doing stuff for the community. You know, like, you had everybody out there doing their thing. So, yeah, like, how is that any different? But I will defend Josh Allen in this regard. It wasn't really a lot to hang your hat on in that game. It wasn't really a lot to really watch. And Josh Allen, at the very least, is exciting. And what do we call it? The NFL is a copycat league. And what were we saying about, you know, about the black quarterbacks? Hey, Josh Allen got
he's the exception.
I know he went to like Wyoming or somewhere like that, but
okay.
My man got a little of the us in him as well, as far as the entertainment value, at least.
Who's the black or white quarterback, Josh Allen or Drew Lock?
Ooh. Stylistically, Josh Allen, and then culturally and personality-wise, probably Drew Lock, if I had to guess. You put them together, and you might actually have a black quarterback.
Yeah, Drew Lock knew all the words to put on by Jeezy.
So, yeah,
I mean, that's all I give him for that.
But see, that's one that they play in the club. Like,
in his time? Yeah, how old is he? Like, what, 23?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah, unless he was on the teen club scene.
Yeah.
But that's also a classic, too.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So, but yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. All right, look, we got time, man. I want to go out to my guy, Cody Davis, host of the Locked On Texans podcast, writer for the USA Today Texans Wire, the writer for the Dream Shake, the SB Nation Rockets blog. When I say this man is Johnny on the spot, this man don't miss nothing, and I see him at everything. One of the hardest working men in the business. I'm talking about Cody Davis,
joining us on a Black Friday edition of In the Loop. Cody, how you feeling, man? Thanks for being with us.
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me on. This is my very first radio spot, period. Not just for Sports Radio 610. So I appreciate you, Brandon.
Nah, don't give yourself a little bit more credit, man, because what's really happening, I don't know if people realize, but y'all hear the promos. We got commercials. So how does it happen then that your first radio commercial come before your first radio hit? I don't know if y'all realize this, but Cody Davis and John Hickman's Locked On Texans podcast got commercials and spots on this station.
We ain't even got no Gems and Juice commercials on here, man.
You know what I'm saying? Like you've already kind of, I wouldn't even say skipped the line. You just kind of arrived kind of quickly. But real quick, we don't have a whole ton of time, Cody, but I appreciate you for joining us anyway, man. I wanted to get your thoughts on this upcoming game between the Texans and the Jets. I know that you are pretty much everywhere, and that I'm pretty sure you were at NRG today, bouncing back between mm-hmm. NRG and Toyota Center. What are some of the things that you're looking out for in this game? Do you think this is a winnable game for the Texans? Do you think that's a good idea to win the game for the Texans? Is there anything about this matchup and about this team that stands out to you?
Yeah, most definitely. I really do think that this is going to be a winnable game for the Texans, and especially considering that they are also coming off a win that, of course, throughout this whole entire week, I saw it, Brandon. I'm pretty sure you saw it as well. It kind of lifted up the spirits of this team. And look, we all didn't have the Texans winning too many games. Some people thought they was going to be the first 0-17 team in NFL history, and I knew that wasn't going to be the case. But what I did say that I can see this team winning somewhere in the ballpark of between 4 and 5 games. Now, I know the 8-game losing streak made that kind of unrealistic at the time, but they was able to get that big win in Tennessee, and they're going up against a New York Jets team that's just as bad as them. Both teams are 2-8. But you got to consider, one, the defense is playing really good. 10 takeaways in the last 2 games, plus they're playing against a rookie quarterback in Zach Wilson. And you also got to consider the fact that Zach Wilson is also coming off an injury, and this is going to be his first game in like almost a month. So I'm pretty sure that is going to be something that Lovie Smith and the defense is going to be able to exploit. Plus, Tyrod Taylor got another game under his belt from him coming off of his injury. And I always say, going back to, you know, when the Texans first signed Tyrod in March, is the fact that, look, he's not this dynamic quarterback like when they had Deshaun Watson, but at the same time, he's not the worst quarterback. He is a guy that's going to, you know, help you get a lead, and he's also a guy that's going to help you sustain a league. And outside of the game against the Miami Dolphins, I never consider Tyrod Taylor as a guy who's going to lose the game for the Texans. And we saw that last Sunday in the win against the Tennessee Titans. And I think, you know, no shot at Davis Mills, but if that was Davis Mills at quarterback, given the weather, given the fact that the Titans had, what, 2, maybe 3 opportunities to steal a game from Houston, I think, you know, the Texans would have lost that game as well. But, you know, we saw Tyrod Taylor come in there and manage the game really well, and that's why they're sitting at 2-8 and possibly going to be sitting at 3-8 by the end of this weekend. Then you could possibly say, that might be the last game that they're going to win.
All right, Cody, we got about a minute left. I wanted to ask you as well about the running back situation. Obviously, we know that they cut Phillip Lindsay earlier in the week. He's been picked up by the Dolphins, but that also seems to open up some opportunities for other running backs on this running back heavy team. For some reason, they decided to open the season with 5 running backs. It seems like they got about 50-11 of them now. How do you see this playing out as far as the backfield and who should get who do you think should get the bulk of the carries? And is this team going to ever be able to fulfill its stated identity of being a run first team?
In my opinion, hell no. I mean, I would like to say the running back position has been the worst position group of the entire, you know, the entire roster, the entire season. And if I had to pick a running back, I would like to see, of course, I would love to see Scotty Phillips, but he's still on IR. And from what David Culley told us, I believe that was Tuesday or Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken, whenever Phillips gets off of IR, then we're probably going to see them give him an opportunity towards the end of the season. But look, we know what David Johnson is. He's not the guy that he was in Arizona. We probably won't ever see that guy. Burkhead, I mean, he's been so-so, but I mean, at the end of the day, he's not a part of this future. And, you know, and I'm really excited to see what can we see from Royce Freeman. I'm really interested to see. I mean, if he's looking for a home, that's a guy that's been bouncing around throughout his career. If he is looking for a place where he can call his home, let's say for the next year or so, this is his opportunity. Because like I just mentioned, we know what we're getting out of Johnson and Burkhead, and then Scotty Phillips is still on IR. So this is his opportunity. But I wasn't surprised by the Lindsey departure. I mean, I kind of figured that was going to happen. In my eyes, he might have been the most disappointing signing that the Texans had this offseason, given the fact that I had him. You know, I'm not going to lie. I thought he was going to be the future of the running back crew because he was the youngest out of the five running backs that they had. And, you know, especially when you consider the fact that he's only, what, a year or two removed from rushing for over 2,000 yards in his first two seasons and a Pro Bowl selection. But it seems like that's long gone now. So I'm not really looking too much in the backfield.
All right, real quick, Cody, we up against it, but we've been talking about tanking all day long with the Houston Texans. So I just want to know, are you pro-tanking or anti-tanking?
I'm anti-tanking. I got to admit, I'm anti-tanking. Unless you have a generational talent that you can't pass up on, let's say if the NFL had their version of a LeBron James or something like that, I think which in the next 3 to 4 years might be the Manning grandson, Archie Manning grandson. But I'm anti-tanking because at the end of the day, the draft is nothing but a gamble, and you can have the first pick that could be a bust, or you can draft Mr. Irrelevant, and that might turn out to be the best person in that draft class. So no, I'm anti-tanking.
All right, that's Cody Davis, the co-host of the Locked On Texans podcast, writer for the Texans Wire, USA Today Network. Also does some work covering the Rock. We didn't get to get into the Rockets, but he's also covering them for the Dream Shake as part of the SB Nation Network. Hey, man, normally on Fridays, you know, if you listen to the Locked On Texans podcast, I'm on with your boy. So make sure y'all are checking that out as well. So, hey, Cody, man, happy belated Thanksgiving to you, man. I appreciate you for joining us. And it's a shame that this is your first radio hit, but, you know, if they accidentally let us do this Black Friday edition of In the Loop ever again, hopefully we get to talk again soon, man. Appreciate you.
Sounds good, my guy. Thank you.
All right, bro.
All right, y'all. So that was Cody Davis again. I appreciate him for joining us. Look, we are toward the end of the show, fellas. I'm not going to lie to you. And it's going off the rails at times. And I think that's been some of my favorite part of the show.
Oh, definitely.
Sitting up here with y'all, a lot more comfortable being able to kind of stretch out and loosen up. So let's just be transparent right now. I'm not exactly sure what we're going to get into on the other side of this. And that's not the most professional radio tease to give out there. And I probably won't put that on my tape when I'm trying to, you know, build my resume and my reputation. But whatever it is, you can believe, especially if you've been listening in the last 3.5 hours, it's going to be fun. It's going to be entertaining. So y'all stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.